I sincerely believe that this message is from the heart of God. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? It's from the heart of God to you and to me. Amen. Matthew 26, I'm going to read from verse 6 to 13. Now when Jesus was in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment, and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. When Jesus understood it, he said unto them, why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. For ye have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this that this woman hath done be told for a memorial of her. Father, bless your word this morning. Spirit of the living God, we thank you because you are here. Enlighten our darkness. Minister life to us. Write upon the tablet of our heart. And let your name be glorified. Heal the sick. Deliver the bound. Set your people free today. Let there be joy in our spirit, man. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. There are varied scriptures in the Gospels about who this woman was. This morning, that is not the item or the subject of my preaching. It's not about the theology, but let's see, what can we glean from this? What lesson can we learn from this? The Word of God can show us diverse lessons. You see, our minds, we must not be myopic in how we look at the Word of God. The Holy Spirit can use any particular scripture to speak to us about any particular thing. And today I am believing God that this will impact you as it impacted me in Jesus' name. The title of my message today is No Reservations. No Reservations. I'm sure you have seen that in your bulletin. Anyway, I want to believe that this woman was the Mary from Magdala. The Mary that we call Mary Magdalene. You know, Toby Libertine. Why? Because he was born in liberty. So-and-so person, so-so cancer, or whatever. Maybe he's from Kansas City, or Missourian. You know, she was from Magdala. And we learned that, this is what I think, this is who I think she is. And we learned that she was healed of 7 demons or 7 infirmities. Not because she was crazy. Maybe she had different sicknesses in her body that Jesus healed. Amen? This woman came in public. In public. In the house of a man who had been healed of leprosy. And people still called him Simon the leper. Hello? Jesus did not sit in Simon's house while he still had leprosy and people followed him. Amen? He was healed of leprosy. Amen. This woman also had been stigmatized. But she didn't care. She came in public. She didn't care how stigmatized she was. Oh, look at her. That is so and so. Who cares? But here she has come to do what? To lavish her love on Jesus. Not in private. She didn't seek a private audience, but in public. Maybe you have moved on. God had healed you. God had forgiven you. And people still want to identify you by what you used to do and who you used to be. They have missed it. They have missed it. Amen? This woman had no reservations about her love, about her appreciation for Jesus in the sight of everybody. The Bible said she brought with her an expensive perfume. Expensive perfume. In those days, perfumes are bought in weight. Either an ounce, 3 ounces, a pound. Even today, we still buy them like that, isn't it? You know, you buy them by ounce or maybe 1.7 ounces, 3 ounces, you know, depending on what you can afford. This was expensive, very expensive. And she brought it to anoint Jesus in public. Now, please don't get me wrong where you think I'm going with this message. Just listen. Just follow me. When she brought this perfume and came to Jesus, the Bible says it's an alabaster box. I've not cared to look at what an alabaster box looks like. But I know that she could do one or two things. She could open it and measure how much she wants to anoint Jesus with. Praise the Lord. Right? But she chose not to measure it. Rather, she chose not to be in control of the outpouring of the ointment. Rather, she broke it so that all of the ointment can flow onto Jesus. All of it can anoint Jesus. Holy Spirit ministered to my spirit about this, not about the ointment, but about the love of the woman. You see, where there's true love in the heart to Jesus, nothing will be taught too good, nor good enough to bestow upon him. As soon as she broke it and poured it on Jesus and anointed him with it, all the people around, especially Judas Iscariot, if you read from another scripture, to their chagrin, they were like, why did you waste that? They were not saying it in their heart. At least the Bible didn't suggest so. They said it out loud. What an effrontery. Why was that wasted? How can your love for Jesus be looked at as a waste? How can my love for Jesus be looked at as too much? When I know deep within me, I've not even done enough. It's the subject of my preaching this morning. The fragrance of the perfume filled the atmosphere. You know how a perfume can quickly fill the atmosphere. Some people are noted by what they wear in terms of perfume. You know, when you smell, oh, somebody, so and so person just passed by. If you are that sensitive, praise the Lord. Everybody around could perceive the sweet odor of that perfume. As a matter of fact, it was the highest level of respect and honor anyone had ever bestowed on Jesus. To anoint him with that sweet fragrance, without reservation. She had no reservation with her love. She had no reservation with the outpouring of the object, to the object of our love, and what, the subject of our love, and then the object of our love as well. There was no reservation at all. She didn't want to be in control. I don't want to control how much I love Jesus. In the same way, as the fragrance filled the atmosphere, the gospel should feel, must be sensed, must be received everywhere you and I may be. Everywhere we go, we are a fragrance poured on Jesus. People must be able to smell you anywhere you go. People must be able to know that you are a child of God. Don't be an in-church Christian, at-home Christian. Some of you go out to eat. You can't even pray in public to bless your food. You mutter it under your breath. And then you eat. Because you don't want people around to know that you are praying. One day I was blown away. My family and I, we went shopping. And in the parking lot, there was this family. I saw them alight from their car, about five of them, husband, wife, and children. And they formed a circle right there and then. They too were going shopping. And they prayed. I could hear them praying. So I said to my wife, let's hold our hands too. Let us pray. At least thanking God that we are there and also believing him to give us a bargain. Come on. Hey, I'm not ashamed to show people in public that I'm a Christian. We live in a world whereby evil is portraying itself on a daily basis. Different agendas on TV, on radio, everywhere you go, on the billboard, advertisement, but then we Christian, we just cower and we show nothing. And then we say to ourselves, well, it's a matter of the heart. If it's a matter of the heart, then he has to show on the outside. What is inside needs to show on the outside. It was a type of adulation that is expected of us to give to our Lord and our Savior. You see, whenever we talk about Jesus to others, it signifies how much faith we have in him. How much love we love him, and the depths of his lordship over our lives. Mary did not try to use the ointment bit by bit. Bit by bit. we must not try to control our relationship with Jesus Christ as if there is a limit to what we want to give. Remember when he hung on the cross, everything was hanging out there. Praise the Lord. Everything was hanging out there. On the inside, on the outside, it was all hanging out there. He gave all. He hid nothing from us. All the love he carried, he poured it out on us. The Bible says that in that while we were yet sinners, he died for us. Not that when we became righteous, then he said, you know what, let me die for these people now. We were still sinners. He died. His side was pierced. Water, blood gushed out. He cried, it is finished. I've emptied myself. And yet to us, to whom he had emptied himself, we are still hiding a part of us. Let me tell you something. Love may be a decision, but there's an emotion that goes with love. Does somebody agree with me? There's an emotion that goes with love. You can't love Jesus without emotion. That is why praise and worship cannot be going on and you are sitting down there as though somebody anoints you with the song. A song of prayer, a song of worship, and we just sit down as though it was my business after a while. I think I've marked the register today, so let's go. Whereas if there's a party in town, I don't go to parties really, except the one I'm invited to. And we see some of us, even before the music starts, you tell the DJ, when is the music going to start? There's no better fun but in church. Did somebody hear me? Huh? There's no better fun. Because when you leave that party, by the time you get home, you are drained. And your sleep that night, believe me, the dream is not good. Praise the Lord. Is somebody getting something? Am I speaking to you? I'm not trying to convict you, but if the word does, that's fine. Amen. If you think about what Jesus did for you. Just think about it. Think about the price he paid for you and I. Ask your neighbor. Say, neighbor, our voice is too low. You feel so convicted now. Say, neighbor, what part of you are you still holding back from your Lord and your Savior? Well, I can give him this area, but not this area. Jesus is the Lord of this area. You won't tell anybody, but everybody will think you're saying, oh, Jesus is the Lord of my life, but not all of my life. Well, my life is my life. It can be a little bit or half of it, but I don't want him in this area. I want to control this one. I want to control this area of my life. I want to control the area of my fantasy. I want to control my urges. I don't want to give it to him. I want to control the lust that I feel. And you know something about lust? Lust is selfish. Lust is selfish. And it's secretive. But love is giving and is evident. You can't love without the one you say you love not knowing that you love them or people around you knowing that you are in love. When I see a young woman who is in love, I know. They glow. They are confident. They are happy. You see a girl last week that didn't wear makeup. And 2 weeks later, they are wearing makeup. You know, hello? You must be wearing makeup for somebody. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Some of us are afraid that people will call us fanatics. She's a fanatic. You're afraid that they're going to ask you, are you the only one? Are you the only Christian? But the truth of the matter is, my relationship with Jesus Christ is an only me relationship. It's not all of us. It's an only me. What does the Bible say? It says you work out your salvation. How? With fear and trembling. You work out your salvation, not let us. Me. It's an only me relationship. So I don't care if you call me a fanatic. I have to pour out my love on my Savior. No wonder it was this same Mary that was the first at the tomb. How deep was the love of this woman? How deep? She was there with Mary, the mother of our Lord. And she was there all the way. Even when the disciples were no longer there. When they ran away out of fear. She was there. Our love went all the way. What is the extent of your love? And you know what? It's not just what we say with our mouth. Love is an action word. Praise the Lord. Love is what? An action word. If you love the Lord, let it show. 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 Many Christians, this day and age, I mean, I've been to churches where they don't make noise. They don't say, praise the Lord. They don't say, shout hallelujah, somebody. And when the worship is going on, they sit down like you are sitting down looking at me now. As if somebody is about to pass a death sentence on them. And then if you stand up beside them and you are swaying and moving to the music and clapping your hands because you feel it, you become their object. It's a black man. Something is wrong with this one. He needs deliverance. No, I'm not the one that needs deliverance. All of you need deliverance. Oh, where is the scripture that says rejoice evermore? If I can't rejoice in the presence of God, rejoice is not a feeling you keep to yourself. Hello? Rejoicing is contagious. It's contagious. Praise the Lord. So my public adulation of Christ cannot be termed excessive. It's not even enough. What more can I do, Lord? Give me grace to do it. You gave me everything. And you gave me satisfaction. So how can I express this love back to you, my God? The issue is here is this. According to Luke 12:48, the latter part of it. To whom much is given. Hello? What is expected? This woman was delivered of 7 demons. And you are saying she should not show public affection. I itemize so many things that the Lord has done for you and I. We owe him. We owe him that praise. We owe him that love. We owe him our heart. We owe him our all. We owe him our emotions. The scripture that simply says, let everything that has breath, just because you have breath, is reason enough. That woman in coma at the hospital cannot praise him. The person that just died now cannot praise him. Only the living can praise him. Somebody said, every day because you are alive means God has not finished with you. He still has a plan concerning your life. That is to say, you are still important to him. You still mean something. You still have an assignment. You still have something to fulfill. Do not let other people's view define your relationship with the Lord. Oh, because somebody will be angry. Like they were angry. How can you waste that? Don't let that define your relationship. Don't let what people think define how you serve God. A young man said to me once and said, oh, you know, Pastor, people in this city are saying, why is he a slave in Wisdom Assembly? Slave how? Because somebody saw him carrying trash from the church to the dumpster. That they are just using you. You see, that's an agent of the devil. Right there. That's an agent of the devil. Now, if you allow what people say because of what they see you do, let me tell you something that I don't understand. I can't comprehend it. That you are in the church at least for 6 months and you are still not involved in anything. You are not in any department. You are not doing anything. You are just coming and going. Coming and going. I can't understand it. I just can't put it together in my mind. The advert of one insurance company, State Farm, it says, I exist to assist. I like that. I exist to assist. If after we've confessed Jesus as Lord and Savior and we make him and say, yes, I'm born again. If that is all there is, then we could have died and gone to heaven. But God still kept us here. Your hands are not on the plow. Only few people's hands are on the plow. And then the few people's hands that are on the plow, you are not even happy with them. That their hands are on the plow. It's like somebody who is not going forward. He doesn't want to go forward. And he's blaming people who are going forward. For how long are you just going to sit there and do nothing? The voice you have, you can still use it to sing. You can be in the children's ministry. You can join any department in the church. How many hours? All just to say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, we are not even talking about money. We are not even talking about giving. We must not pull back. Don't pull back. Let there be no reservation in sharing your impact, the impact of the love of Christ in your life with somebody else. Don't become a shame to the gospel because you are ashamed of the gospel. Paul said, I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed. Read your bulletin. Read what I wrote there. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I'm not ashamed to display my affection, to talk about my lover. I'm not ashamed to talk about my wife anywhere I go. I was in a church recently, because everywhere I go before I preach, so I bring greetings to you from our church, Wisdom Assembly, and my pretty wife, and so on and so forth. Suddenly, the moment I said my pretty wife, I could hear sounds in the audience. And then everybody's eyes went onto the screen. And I turned back and looked, and lo and behold, there was my wife's picture and myself. At least it was proven, I was proven right. Even though beauty is in the eye of the beholder. But this one is for real. Praise God. You may not think she's pretty, but I know she is. Inside and outside. Praise the Lord. Can you help me give her a round of applause? Hallelujah. Any opportunity I have, I like to honor my wife. Amen. In rounding up, a situation happened in Jericho one day. Jesus was passing by Jericho. And there was this not so liked tax collector and a chief of the publican by the name Zacchaeus. The Bible says he wanted to see Jesus. But he was too short. He was a rich man, affluent in the society, a man of pomp and pageantry. He climbed a tree. He had no reservation about his status. He didn't care who mocked him, seeing him climbing. Can you imagine somebody like Bill Gates climbing a tree in order to see Jesus? Maybe pride will not even allow. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? This man had no reservation. In spite of the crowd thronging Jesus, guess who Jesus noticed? It was Zacchaeus. And Jesus stopped, called him, "Come down, Zacchaeus. I'm dining in your house today. What about me following you since morning?" You were just following. Your heart was not following me. What can I say about the woman with the issue of blood? The drama we saw last week. In spite of the throng, some touching his body, the body of Jesus Christ. But this woman came with a purposeful touch. She had no reservation. People said, "Oh yes, you are smelling. We don't want to relate with you." Not only had she lost her money, her goods, she had lost her friends. Not many friends will stay with you when you have lost everything. Only a few will be there to the end. It was one of those few that came to tell her, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. The best doctor in town is around." She had no reservation. She didn't care about her pain. She didn't care about what people would think of her. She was not going to wallow in sorrow. I'm going out in public and I'm going to touch him. I don't care who sees me. And in doing so, she received a healing. Hallelujah. You see, you may be in church, but the truth of the matter is, it's not your attendance that really matters to God. It's your heart. It's your heart. It's my heart. Why do we come? You can't just come, get. Oh, I like the preaching. You may like the preaching, though you like the word. Do you follow the word? Do you obey the word? It's not the attendance. Brethren, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Life transforming power is in the gospel. We can't keep it to ourselves. Yes, you see, I'm not going to stand here and lie to you that there is no danger to sharing the gospel. Now, because there's a danger in this society we live in today in sharing the gospel, that doesn't mean we become passive. Paul talked about the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. There's a fellowship of suffering. A psychiatrist a lady who shared the gospel with a Muslim person. I can't remember whether a woman or not now. This was in England recently. And she said, okay, can I pray with you? And this person said, yes. She prayed with this person. And this person now went and sued the psychiatrist and said she shouldn't have preached to her. And she shouldn't have prayed with her. They went to court. Guess what the court said? That the woman should not have prayed with her. They took her license. Now, you are afraid. Ah, what if I lose this? What if I lose that? But Jesus said, if you can't carry that cross and follow me, he says you are none of mine. Because we will think, oh, it's the end for this woman. She will not be able to take care of her family again. Who told you so? The florist in Indiana that said, I'm not going to entertain gay people. And they said, we're going to boycott you. In less than a few weeks, the kind of amount of money that poured into that store was amazing. I remember the Chick-fil-A issue. We two were there. We are going to support. Even if I don't feel like eating chicken, I will eat this chicken. Because I'm going to support this one. I'm going to stand for the truth. Even if it kills me, I will stand for the truth. You know how many people literally were killed, beheaded, because they refused to compromise their faith? You are talking about because they took my license. And take it. God will make a way for me. Praise the Lord. That's how much I trust God. I don't know about you. I've been a time in my life where I lost virtually everything. I was below ground zero. Some people will not even touch me with a pole. Oh, he's finished for this one. They never gave me a prayer. You know what? I pitied them. I honestly pitied them. I'm like, and these are Christians. I'm like, oh my God. These people have no understanding at all. your relationship with Jesus, there shouldn't be any reservation. There shouldn't be no limit to it. My wife told me something in closing. Said when she gets to work, I'd be, oh, hi, good morning. She say, oh, when they say, oh, how are you? I'm blessed and highly favored. And she goes to her seat. People around her began to wonder, according to what she told me, why are you always saying you are blessed and highly favored every day? So every day you are blessed and highly favored. She now said, one day, somebody now said, good morning. How are you? And she said, I'm good. And the person said, hold on. You are not blessed and highly favored? No, she said, yes, I'm blessed and highly favored. You get the message there. They know the response. They know what they're waiting for. They know you. Why hide you? Why hide who you are? Even gay people are coming out of the closet. When are you going to come out? Huh? Why you keep hanging there? When are you going to come out and say, yes, I'm a believer. And I'm not ashamed of it. I love Jesus. And all he stood for, everything he said, everything the word of God says, I am part of it. I don't know how many of us can stand should a gun be put to your head and say Jesus is not your Lord. I don't know about you. But I know I'm not going to change my mind. For me to die is gain. Praise the Lord. And to live is Christ. Hallelujah. So feel free this week, every day. Share your Jesus story with somebody. Let somebody know what you stand for. Put it on Facebook. Put it on every social media. Not all those mundane rubbish things. Some of us, we post certain things. I'm like, did you not read what you are reposting? Some I will see at the bottom, they are reposting some stupid stuff. And they will say at the bottom, I can't imagine. If you can't imagine, keep the imagination to yourself. Don't spread the imagination. You understand what I'm trying to say? Some people use filthy languages there to describe what they are posting, and you are helping them to repost it. You are not just reposting what they posted, you are reposting their filthy language. The moment he carries a filthy language, I will not repost. If it's not going to edify, I will not repost. It has to be a clean joke. Not the one that my conscience will be heavy. I am in this world, but I'm not of this world. I am with them, but I'm not a part of them. Tell your story to somebody. Don't let somebody tell your story for you. When you get home, because time is fast spent, I want you to read Isaiah 52, verse 7, Isaiah 40, verse 9, Isaiah 61, verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Some of us, the only gospel other people will know, will ever know, will begin to know, is you and I. What we say how we portray ourselves. Should your friend find out one day that you are a Christian, and they wonder, I never knew you were a Christian? That would be a dagger in my heart. I didn't know you were a Christian? That would be a slap on my face. Don't be a 007 Christian. Somebody say, no reservation. Let us pray.